Decision 2020. America at the crossroads. Freedom versus socialism. American values versus global elitism. The presidential election that will define our nation for decades to come. Exclusive coverage now on Kevin McCullough Radio.
And it's always fun to check in with my next guest, who basically kind of came the way of our microphone because Lady Kelsey Bowler had to take some time off to have her baby. She's going to be coming back. But Chrissy Clark has made an invaluable imprint on Kevin McCullough Radio and my weekend broadcast. So she's going to continue to be part of the lineup. But she rejoins us. And Chrissy covers for thefederalist.com the 2020 race amongst the Democrats right now. It is a busy week for her with a big debate. And then I guess, Chrissy, tonight, Beto is trying to throw down in Dallas and say, I'm going to have a bigger crowd than the Trump man. We just talked with Kayleigh McEnany from the Trump campaign about that. What's your over under odds on whether or not Beto's able to match the turnout for his rally tonight in a 6,500 seat auditorium when Trump has a 20,000 seat auditorium booked?
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting for him. I don't know if you saw the report yesterday that Mark Sanford officially announced his campaign and one person showed up. and I feel like that's what's going to happen to Beto tonight. If you're actually interested in following that closely, the Federalist Madeline Osborne is going to the event in Dallas where she now resides. So be sure to follow our Instagram and you can get like up-to-date information on all of that.
All right. Madeline Osborne from the Federalist. Is she on Twitter as well or only Instagram?
She is on Twitter as well, but she'll be posting to the Federalist Instagram. So be sure to follow.
Okay, be checking that out. Yeah, Chrissy also runs the social media for the Federalist. So she's a woman of many talents and very, very busy on a lot of different levels. Okay, Chrissy, so the debate happened this week, and I thought it was an utter snooze fest. I mean, there wasn't anything memorable or I thought even notable, really, from, you know, if you've already kind of understood the roles that all these guys are playing. But you see them every day on the trail. Talk to me about how the debate came off, in your opinion, and did anybody do themselves any good?
Yeah, so I actually got on your show last week and said that I thought Pete Buttigieg was currently kind of running for this vice presidential position.
Right.
And I think my predictions were just totally shattered when I watched that debate. I think Pete Buttigieg stood out as somebody that didn't want to be going down this Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders trail of progressivism, or I guess I should say extreme progressivism, because he's still a progressive. And so I think that was interesting because I no longer saw Pete as somebody running as vice president, but maybe an actual candidate that has potential to do something if he really wanted to. Amy Klobuchar came out swinging at Elizabeth Warren, and it just really to me seemed like the progressive candidates versus the moderate progressive candidates, and that's
right.
Really
the,
what I got from it.
The less weird and extreme versus the more weird and extreme. But you also had predicted that there were going to be more people in this debate than had been in the last one, and we did get to see Tulsi Gabbard back on that stage, and you got to see Tom Steyer. How did they do coming back into the equation?
Tulsi Gabbard, to me, didn't have as fiery of a night as I expected her to. She called out CNN and New York Times for poor political coverage of her, which, if you didn't watch the debate, it was hosted by CNN and the New York Times, which was pretty funny to watch. But I don't think that really does anything for her base, as her base is the one reading CNN and New York Times.
Right.
And then Tom Steyer was a snooze fest. It was so clear that he had never been on that stage before. He's looking directly in the camera. It kind of made you feel uncomfortable, like he was staring at you through the TV. He didn't have any pop-out moments, and he really had nothing to add to the conversation. So I just didn't enjoy his presence. I thought he was really unnecessary.
Yeah. All right. So you can get more of Chrissy's coverage in The Federalist as she's doing this day to day. And she's also filing other stories for The Federalist because it's a busy shop over there with some of their writers out. Chrissy, you're filing a story today that sounds extremely disturbing. Talk to me about what you just published.
Yeah, so it's really odd. So I ran a publication back at Michigan State where I went to college called The Morning Watch, and they just reported that there are two drag queens that were hosted by the MSU Student Parent Resource Center. But it wasn't for students of MSU and their parents. It was for, like, young children and their parents to come and listen to drag queens read stories to them. And they told the drag queens told the story about Gilbert, this queer individual that was living in Kansas that didn't want to take a gun as he was enlisted in the military. And so he moved to San Francisco and put a gay flag in his window and felt like he was his sparkling, shiny self. It's a very odd story. It really just perpetuates the idea that guns are bad, middle America is bad, and this is what you keep hearing over and over again from the left. But to have drag queens perpetuate that to young children is just, it's past the point of college and campus insanity. This is like indoctrination of children.
Yeah. That's what it seems like. Pure propaganda. Anyway, all right, check that out on The Federalist as well. Chrissy, always appreciate your input. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Kevin McCullough Radio. Coming up next, it's a check of wellness with Dr. Douglas Howard for this Thursday. Don't go away.